Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 76th voyage. I'm the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Al.
Naja.
So for those of you who are new here, what we do is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
So what was the language this week, Alan?
Oh, let me check. It's not one that I recognize, but it was one that was on Google Translate. Hmong.
Hmong. I wonder where that's from.
Me too.
It is from the indigenous people in southwest China, Vietnam, Thailand, and Myanmar. Well, we have a lot to get to this week, so I figure I don't need to tease everyone any longer. Let's just get right into Real Japanese Kit Kats, Part 2, with Brother 3.
Yes, what we have before you, I thought I was buying three different things, but apparently they're all cranberry almond Kit Kats in a selection of different colors. What would you like to start with? The regular milk, the rose, or matcha green tea?
Let's go with something that's more close to home and go for the milk chocolate.
I got a knife, so we don't need to Lady in the Trampet, because these, unlike the other ones that were two bars, these were even smaller, and you get, like, what is that, like, 2 inches? There you go. That was the break in the Kit Kat. Cheers! I've never had a Kit Kat and said, you know, this thing is cranberry and almond. Honestly, it tastes a bit like trail mix. Like, it's like someone instead of putting chocolate chips, put little Kit Kats in my trail mix.
I was going to say, it's like when you get a handful of, like, just the, like, Smarties or the chocolate chips, and then like a couple pieces of the other stuff.
Yeah, and you're just like, there is a raisiny element to it, and I'm not a big raisin fan.
Yeah, I think it's because it's dried cranberry.
Yeah, I say we do the matcha one next because I don't know if I like matcha, and this looks better. Pick your sliver. Is it weird that I like that more than the milk chocolate one?
I'd say
it goes, it's like the earthiness of the cranberries and the almonds. It kind of tastes like tea. Like, it genuinely does taste like tea. And finally, the rose chocolate, which is apparently its own separate type of chocolate. There's like milk, dark, white, and then this is newly discovered rose. I don't like the dried stuff on top.
That being said, it's better than the ones that just tasted like strawberry wafer cookie.
It's true. So, of the three, pink, green, or brown, what's your
I would go with the rose.
And that's what I was going with, too. Look at us. We have the same palette. We're both
fancy pants.
You guys are such foodies.
So I think we all learned a valuable lesson. Kit Kats do not need raisins on top of them. That's all we really learned. They were all eh. They weren't as good as that frozen cookies and cream one.
Well, nothing's as good as cookies and cream.
No. You know what I learned the other day? Did you know that Oreos is actually a ripoff of a different kind of cookie?
I did not.
But that Oreo just, like, marketed itself better? Like, the other cookie came out, like, 2 or 3 years before Oreo. And then Oreo just had, like, better distribution. But it's, like, a blatant ripoff of it.
No copyright.
Anyway, so I did not love those Kit Kats, but that segues nicely into this week's Lessons in Love. This week, Alan, we find ourselves in early 2003. I am just at the end of grade 8. Last time we did a Lessons in Love, I had my first real date early in grade 9. So grade 8, late 2003. If our mother is good at one thing, she's good at pointing out, like, body flaws that we have. On a flight home from vacation once, our mother looked at me and went, "You have a unibrow. You need to fix that." So I have been getting my eyebrows waxed since I was 12 years old.
Well, I'm glad that is not a problem that I have. But she does have an ability to point those things out.
Almost too honest. But one of the things, not unibrow related, that she pointed out about me was that I was too skinny, like grossly skinny.
I think she said, relate. girls don't like guys who are that skinny. So what our, right? our mother did was she didn't just say this and not have a solution. Similar to the unibrow, where she then got me into the waxer to get it waxed, she then signed me up for teenager weightlifting class.
Oh, nice.
At the local wave pool. So the entire gym smelt like glory.
The best.
Actually, you know what? I think I got the time frame wrong. This was grade 9. This was after my first date with Megan.
Oh.
So I apologize. We're actually in early 2004. And so I'm nervous enough. I'm this freshman in high school. I have to go to the wave pool to lift weights because my mother says I'm too skinny for women to like me. And she's not wrong, because earlier that year, I think what provoked her saying that is I was in drama class and we had to do a little play. And one of the other very attractive girls in our grade, I was paired up with her in a scene and I had to like hold her in my arms on a bench.
Oh, did she fall through your arms?
No, but I'd held her the first time and she, in front of the whole class, went, "Have you never held a woman before, loser?" I was like, "No, I'm grade 9. Why would I have held a woman? I'm all that's bone. What are you talking about?"
It's the craziest thing about this to me so far is there were multiple very attractive women in your grade 9 class. My grade 9 class had like 13 people in it, and more than half of them were guys. So yeah, the odds but
by,
were not...
by the time you got to grade 9, you were living in small town, rural place. My yes. high school was 2,000 people, so
yes,
there's a lot
mine
bigger,
was 100,
a much bigger pool, I guess, of ladies. And so anyway, so then I end up at the wave pool taking this first class. I get through the door and who shows up but Erica, one of the most beautiful ladies in the entire class.
Oh,
I don't know, she was an angel. And she was dating Gavin. And
ugh. Gavin.
I did not like Gavin. Well, it's not that I didn't like Gavin. Gavin was better at basketball than me, and we played the same positions. So on the high school team, I played 5 minutes a game, and he played the other 35. So he
sounds
was
like
all,
a skill issue.
He was already my rival. And then he had this dream girl. And so the first week, it goes well. I managed to have a good rapport with her in the sense that she's laughing at all my jokes, I'm not awkward. I guess I'm very good in a one-on-one setting. I can be kind of charming. But in the big group setting of high school, I was a weirdo.
Yes.
So anyway, as you expect, this is an 8-week class. So every Tuesday when we...
I did not expect it to be 8 weeks.
Every Tuesday when we go to weightlifting class, Erica and I and Erica's sister are like best friends. We're all chummy.
Oh, nice.
Then as soon as we get to school, she acts like she doesn't know me. Which, I mean, is fair. I would have done the same thing.
But I also would have pretended not to know me. I suck.
After the first week, she came to our Tuesday session and she had broken up with Gavin.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, here's my chance. She obviously likes you because she talks to you, which makes sense.
Not in public.
She's not in public. I wouldn't care if she only wanted to kiss me in private. I don't care.
In the privacy of the weightlifting class.
That smell, I would, if that had happened, the smell of chlorine would have turned me on for the rest of my life. I was going to make a move, but I had just remembered How I Met Your Mother was a hot new show at the time.
Oh, so good.
And there was an episode where Ted, I think it's Ted or maybe Barney, Barney convinces Ted to hold off asking out a girl because if you don't wait 6 weeks, you're going to be the rebound guy.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm not going to be the rebound guy. I'm going to be her true love forever. So I don't want to.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah. At whatever, 14 years old. It happened at Boy Meets World.
Which you do base your life on.
I waited the prerequisite 6 more weeks, which leads us up to the last weightlifting class. The 6 classes in between were lovely, lots of fun, we joked around, blah blah blah. By the end, she was even waving to me in school, still not talking to me, but she acknowledged me. And then that last weightlifting class, I was super nervous. I'm like, at the end of this class, you're gonna ask her out, she's gonna be your girlfriend, you're gonna fall in love, she'll be the mother of your children.
Naturally.
Well thought out.
Gotta have a plan.
Yep.
I was planning to do it at the end of the class. She came into the beginning of class all giddy, like super excited, like guess what, Holt? You never believe what happened. I was like, oh, what happened? Like, there's no way you know I'm going to be asking you out. So imagine how happy you'll be after this.
You earn for a treat.
And she's like, Gavin and I got back together today after school. He's really sorry for what he did, and he's going to try to be better. Now, as a 32-year-old man, if I were to tell my 14-year-old self, I would have said, okay, put what you were going to say in your pocket, forget about it, and just go on with the weight class.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you'll be able to keep your friendship with her. Eventually, they're going to break up again, so it's going to come around, you know, if you're really wanting to be with her, whatever. Instead, sure. I looked at her.
This is going to go poorly.
I looked at her and said, well, Erica, that sucks because I was going to ask you out today. I guess you'll have to choose between the two of us.
Oh, yeah, that was the ultimatum between your weightlifting friend or your boyfriend. That's a toughie.
She didn't pick me.
I mean, not surprised.
So what is the lesson you could learn this week, Alan?
Do not try to pick people up at a weightlifting class.
I mean, that's as good a lesson as any.
Yeah.
Up first this week, Alan, a 1950s ad from Bran Flakes.
Regular folks feel fit and are better able to fit in with the world around them. But irregular folks feel out of shape, low down, and unfit. They need Post 40% Bran Flakes, the tasty way to regularity. Post 40% Bran Flakes, golden flakes of bran that add bulk to your diet, bulk that helps prevent irregularity. Yes, these wonderful flakes, Post 40% Bran Flakes, help folks feel regular as a clock.
Start your day a little bit better with the tasty golden flakes of bran, fresh from Post.
Enjoy Post 40% Bran Flakes. Help yourself feel fit and fit in with the world around you. Remember, regular folks start their day with Post 40% Bran Flakes. The tasty way to regularity.
I know they're using the term regular, like, in two different ways here. But you can tell that it's a 1950s ad. Because they're really just trying to shame you into pooping more. Like, they're like, you want to fit in? You want to be a regular person? You want to make friends and be healthy? They also make it seem like if you're not pooping consistently, you're missing out on making friends. Like, are we... I've never made a friend in a bathroom stall. Like,
oh, no. No. If you try to talk to me when I'm in a bathroom stall, we'll never be friends. That's something you can't come back from.
Like, I just imagine in the 1950s, guys at work would just be like, oh, hey, Fred, we're like a clock. We each poop at 9 o'clock, and then I see you back in here again at 2:30. Poo buddies!
We're so regular.
And healthy. Thank goodness. It feels so nice to fit in. Not like Bill, that constipated little witch.
I constantly... I'm questioning, like, are these commercials significantly longer than commercials we have today?
Yes.
And I've come to the conclusion they are. But there's a reason. It's because they have to first do, like, the pre-jingle ad.
Yeah.
Then the jingle.
Yeah.
And then they do, like, a summary at the end, like a conclusion. It's like a well-crafted essay.
Next up, Alan, is a Campbell's Soup commercial from 1959. It's as old as our dad.
There. The breakfast dishes are done.
Hey, Mom, can we have lunch now? And can Billy eat too?
Yeah, Mom, and Susie too?
Now, children, I have been stuck in this kitchen all morning, and I won't.
Easy now, Mother. Remember the soup. It's no trouble at all.
Disappoint you. I'll give you each a nice hot bowl of Campbell's vegetable soup and a sandwich. Go wash your hands.
Mmm, this soup is delicious.
Makes a good lunch. All those good vegetables.
I like the alphabets. I like the wet part.
That's the broth. Campbell makes it with beef stock.
Billy, Susie, there you are, forever having lunch with the neighbors. Jane, I hope it isn't too much trouble.
Well, to tell the truth, Martha,
remember the soup.
It's no trouble at all. Only takes 4 minutes to heat up some Campbell's.
They always eat better when you remember the soup.
Reach for the Campbell's. It's right on your shelf.
My favorite part of the soup's the wet part.
Her kids, one, are idiots. Look at the vegetables. I like the alphabets. You could just said letters. It's letters, man. It's not the alphabets.
This isn't cereal, man. This is soup.
Yeah. And the second mother that comes in, what I love, and you don't get the visual here, is she's like outside the window. Like, it's like she's some like cracked out mom where she's like, where's my kid? Oh, you're in there eating Campbell's soup again. Come back.
I don't remember ever being like these kids where it's like, oh, come make us lunch. I remember waiting for lunchtime.
The most 1950s thing about this is she was about to explain and have an actual thought, and the cartoon was like, uh-oh, remember, don't actually say your true feelings, because it's 1959 and you're a woman and you're not allowed to.
Who is this child, by the way, who comes out of the Campbell's can?
I don't know.
He is creepy and also rude.
Also, I hate the creepy guy at the end. Remember, it's on your shelf. I know, because I'm in here when you sleep.
I didn't even buy it. I put it there.
I'm the Campbell's man. Are you a superhero? No, I break into people's houses and stock their cupboards with healthy, refreshing Campbell's soup. Could you just leave it on my shelf? No, then I can't smell your underwear.
Oh man, the Campbell's man is terrible.
He is a pervert. He's a creepy pervert who pays for his perversions in soup.
That is a universal currency.
I would tell you I'm uncomfortable with this invasion of privacy, but it's the 1950s and I'm not allowed to.
The little kid out of the cans of soup you're giving me keep telling me I can't.
Yeah, the Campbell's soup demon child won't leave me alone. And then I got the creepy pervert Campbell's soup man coming into my house. Oh. And finally, Alan, from Cheer Laundry Detergent.
That's clean? That's okay? Uh-oh. My son's been hiding the evidence again. I'm Irene Manning, and let me show you how beautifully Procter & Gamble's new blue Cheer washes towels like this. Cheer, all alone, gets your wash so clean, so white, you don't need bluing or bleach. No bluing, and except for problem stains, no bleaching either. You see, Cheer is different. The granules are blue, blue in color, with a blue magic whitener no other product gives you. That's why Cheer washes clothes so white, you don't have to blue or bleach. Brightens washable colors, too. Cheer's easy on your hands. You'll love it for dishes. Really, Cheer works like blue magic. So try it. Remember, the only suds with the blue magic whitener, new blue Cheer.
I feel like I have so many questions.
Are we all suckers now? Because this is the second or third cleaning product ad where we've seen that they use the same cleaning product on like 8 different things. Like, I've never taken my laundry detergent and gone, yes, dishes. I guess it makes sense why you would. My dishwasher pod looks very similar to my laundry pod.
I just use liquid soap for both.
I have never thought of that. Or is it one of those things where you probably shouldn't have and everyone got a weird disease?
I'm guessing we're not being duped by Big Soap, but
I mean, I guess it would be in Big Soap's best interest to market something as only for dishes and only for clothes.
Yes.
But I also feel like if this has this bluing stuff in it that apparently makes stuff shiny and whiter, that can't be good for your tummies.
Yeah. what is, I don't understand. She's like, the big selling point behind this blue magic whitener is no bluing, no bleach, but it has blue in it. And she's like, no bleach, except when you need bleach.
I think basically it's blue to the bluing liquid is its own separate thing. So essentially that has it already built into it.
Oh, so it's like shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah, and what I didn't know, I had to look up bluing. Apparently people still use it, but you put it in with your whites instead of bleach, and it's a dye kind of thing that, like, dyes things a really pale blue, but the human eye views it as white. So it's a way to continually make sure your white doesn't dull, is you just dye it, basically, every single time. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which makes me think I probably shouldn't be washing my dishes with it. And then,
what, you don't want your insides to be lightly blue?
Suddenly I'm radiating. I don't need the creepy Campbell's man to know where I am in the dark.
But he will still tell you.
I see you. You're dreaming about Campbell's soup.
At the very beginning of the ad, she's like going through their towels and she's like, oh, my husband's towel's clean. My towel's clean, and looks at her son's towel, which looks the exact same.
And then
she pulls it up, and there's like...
She flips it over, and yeah. That kid has been eating his 40% bran, because that thing looks like he went to the bathroom on it so hard. Because I have been like, muddy, and I've had, like, dirty hair, but I have never done that to a towel.
No, no, there were a large number of streaks on that towel.
It's like he had diarrhea and tried to cover it up with the towel. Oh, there he is, trying to hide the evidence. Yeah, the poop on the floor. You're stepping in it. So last time, Alan, in honor of the NBA playoffs starting, we counted down our three favorite NBA mascots. We thought, we're not big hockey fans, so rather than doing the best NHL mascots in honor of the NHL playoffs starting, we would count down the worst NHL mascot. What is your number three worst NHL mascot, Alan?
My number three worst NHL mascot is the Columbus Blue Jackets mascot, Stinger. He is a large bee, I think.
He's lime green.
He's not blue.
I like him because he was the original logo for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I can respect that, but it's so terrible to look at.
He looks like the Hulk had a baby with a bee.
Yes, the Hulk and Ant-Man. He's got like giant red beady eyes, and he's not like smiling. He's just like clenching his teeth.
Yeah, he looks like he's in pain. Like he's like, I should not be alive. I should not be here.
He just doesn't look like he's having a good time. And honestly, neither does anybody else in this picture.
Well, before I unveil my number three, I have a beef. Now, it's not a beef of the week. It's just while I was doing research, I found a website that ranked the NHL mascots. And I didn't agree with their ranking at all. Because if we were to do the best NHL mascots, my top two were two of their bottom three.
Oh.
Yeah. My second favorite NHL mascot is Ottawa Senators mascot Spartacat. They have him ranked second worst. Oh. And, I mean, he's a cool-looking lion. Maybe it's because I've met him a couple times. No bias, but he came to my class once because my class won a contest, and Spartacat came to visit, and we were in the newspaper. He was super cool. And then my favorite, they rank third last, is Yuppie, the Montreal Canadiens mascot, who is literally one of the greatest mascots of all time and consistently ranks as one of the top baseball mascots.
Mascots?
Yes, because he was originally the Montreal Expos mascot. And then when the Montreal Expos moved to Washington, the Montreal Canadiens adopted him. But what annoys me most about this is I sent you the picture. Yuppie is bright orange fluffy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they have ranked number 7 out of all NHL mascots, 7th best, Victor E. Green from the Dallas Stars. That's just a green version of Youppi. Look at him.
Yeah, it's very similar. He's just fatter, it looks like.
It's the same thing. You just copied Youppi. At least the Flyers made Gritty, like, creepy looking. Like, ugh. Anyway, but my actual number three, Alan, is from the Colorado Avalanche, Bernie the St. Bernard, because he's creepy looking.
What do you mean? He has the little jar?
His head, it looks like his neck is too long.
His head looks much too large.
Yeah, and the barrel's really tiny, and I just don't think anthropomorphic dogs look good.
There's a reason most people use cats.
And they didn't make him cartoony. They made him try to look, like, quite realistic. And maybe it's in the picture I see.
As realistic as you can.
Yeah, and in the picture I see, he's kind of, like, flexing for the ladies. Like, yeah! It's like, no! No, Mr. St. Bernard, you're supposed to be finding stranded hikers in the Himalayas. Or in the Alps, not the Himalayas.
But alternatively, in Colorado.
What is your number two worst mascot, Alan?
My number two worst mascot is the Winnipeg Jets mascot, Mick E. Moose.
He has a big smile.
He does not look like he could fly a jet, first of all. But he is also... The name is just so bad. Like, we get it. It's a play on Mickey Mouse. But why? That has nothing to do with your team. You're not, like, from Florida.
My biggest beef with this is you chose to recycle your mascot from your minor league team that was in Winnipeg before the Jets showed up. All that is that's just the Manitoba Moose's mascot.
Yeah, which is just lazy.
That's just lazy. You couldn't afford a new mascot. You can pay hundreds of million dollars for the team, but you're like, we spent too much on the team. Let's save $10,000 by not getting a new mascot. My number two least favorite NHL mascot is Stormy from the Carolina Hurricanes.
What am I looking at?
I think he's a pig, which I don't get. Maybe that's a play on Carolina barbecue, but then you're insinuating we're, like, eating your mascot. Eating him? His eyes are too big. He looks like a nightmare.
He looks like one of those things where it's like, this is cute. And then you, like, stare at it longer, like, oh, wait, no, this is looking like it's peering into my soul.
This reminds me of something that someone would put on their head and then, like, stare through someone's window at night to freak them out.
Yes, I could. That would be terrifying.
Yes, right? Like, that would be like, no, I can't even look at it anymore. I can't even look at it. What is your number one absolute worst, most trash garbage mascot in the NHL?
Number one.
Well, this is definitely the most trash garbage mascot in the NHL. It is the Detroit Red Wings mascot, Al the Octopus. I don't care if there's some kind of historical reason that you won 8 Stanley Cups or whatever.
No, it used to take 8. Their mascot is an octopus because it used to take, now it takes 16 wins. But back in, like, the 40s, it only took 8 wins to win the Stanley Cup. And so they're like, an octopus has 8 tentacles. So that one for every win it took to win the Stanley
Cup. Yeah, that makes no sense. You're the Detroit Red Wings, not the Detroit Shellfish. Or squid or octopus. Like,
they octopuses are invertebrates. I learned that on Storybots the other day.
Oh, interesting. You know what else they are? Not things with red wings.
Also, there's no one inside that mascot. It's basically a statue or a big puppet. That doesn't
count.
That's
the worst kind of mascot. Like, that's what I mean. This is literally the worst mascot. They could have no mascot and it would be better than this.
It'd probably make more sense. Well, my number one, Alan, is not going to take any time at all. My number one is Carlton the Bear from the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't care if you're cute. I don't care if you're arguably the cutest Carlton the Bear. You're a Leaf, and the Leafs suck. So you suck, and you are garbage. Get at me, Carlton the Bear. I may not like hockey, but I still hate the Leafs. We are about to dock and end this week's episode, but before we do, we want to remind you, check us out on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast. Hit us up on our email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. And a little housekeeping, we are going to be taking next week off because I am traveling and we don't have time to record. So we will be back in 2 weeks. But before we go, Alan, what is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... The English Navy used to use English brown oak specifically for their warships because it was supposed to be very high quality wood. This led to all of the English brown oak trees being owned by the crown, and it was made illegal to cut them down without permission from the crown. And if you did, the punishment was death.
The crown owns everything. They own the, yeah, swans, they own the trees.
The land. Monarchies are weird. Can you imagine accidentally cutting down the wrong tree and being like, oh, well, I guess I'll die.
Well, I mean, I guess someone would need to catch you doing that, and it's old-timey, so it's not like there was cameras anywhere.
That's true. Crime was much easier back
then.
Yeah,
that was a much easier crime to get away with. But I also feel like they killed people for a lot less back in the day.
She did math!
She disappointed her children and didn't feed them Campbell's soup! She must die!
Oh, Campbell's, man, you will definitely haunt my nightmares.
I bet you he wears the pig head. On that note, thank you all so much for joining us this week.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks, everybody. If you try to talk to me when I'm in a bathroom stall, we will never be friends. That's something you can't come back from.